What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Thursday, February 10th, 2011. What an amazing day. Things are going on. Obviously, the big news, it appears, it is being rumored that Hosni Mubarak is going to step down. Obviously, the people in Egypt are already celebrating. Rumors have been flying back and forth. He will step down. He won't step down. He'll do this. He won't do that. Back and forth. He's in Cairo. He's down in the Sinai. He's already in Bahrain. Nobody really knows for sure. We're waiting for him. He's supposed to be coming on state TV to say whatever it is he's going to say. It's a very, very exciting time here. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Matt's in the control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer your phone calls. I think one of the reasons that we're getting all these contradictory rumors, because earlier today they were saying, yes, he's going to step down, then all of a sudden the information minister was saying, no, he's not stepping down. They're shuffling the powers around and back and forth. And I'm reminded very much of the final day of the Nixon administration, the day before he actually resigned, rather than risk an impeachment trial in the Congress that would have unraveled the whole Kennedy assassination. And Nixon kept flipping back and forth, you know, shall I resign? No, I'm not going to resign. Yes, I'll resign. No, I won't. It's good for the country. It's not a crime if the president does it. And there was that whole moment where he's like kneeling in the Oval Office with Henry Kissinger, you know, praying, you know, to the ghosts of former presidents to tell him what to do. And Abraham Lincoln says, relax, go to the theater tonight. So, you know, I think Hosni Mubarak, obviously, he's been in power for 30 years. That's a very terrible thing to give up. And I think ultimately they're going to pry him out of his office with a crowbar. It'll take 2 weeks to sand the fingernail gouges out of the desktop and the door frame, after which they'll say it was an orderly and peaceful transition. But obviously the people in Liberation Square are celebrating as if it's already a done deal. I certainly hope they are right, because the ramifications of this, and everybody's saying, oh, well, all these backroom deals, it isn't exactly what the Egyptian people wanted. It isn't what, you know, it's a military coup. It's not al-Baradei that the Egyptian people wanted. It almost doesn't really matter from the point of view of its impact on the American political system, or for that matter, any place else in the world where governments are abusing their people right now. In fact, before Mubarak even steps down, we're getting word that Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel is saying, we better lower food or fuel and fuel prices or we're going to have a problem here. And so all the money addicts are saying, okay, maybe we've pushed this as far as we can take it. It's time to start letting the people get their lives back, or we're going to be, you know, looking at retirement ourselves here. So, again, we are waiting for Mubarak to speak. He was supposed to basically start right now, but my guess is there's a lot of stuff going on in the background. Where is he going to go to? Is he going to stay in Egypt? If he stays in Egypt, he's looking at prosecution. So he's probably heading someplace else. Now, what we are hearing, the reason it is all coming to a head today, Mubarak has been losing more and more support from different sectors of the Egyptian society. He lost the people first, then he lost the state TV, then he lost the trade unions. They were going on strike. And finally, last night appears to be when he lost not necessarily the military high command, but definitely the rank and file. We have a story out of Press TV that the military high command approached the soldiers in the Egyptian army, who up until now have been very supportive of the protests, and said, we may have to order you to fire on the protesters. And apparently what the soldiers were saying is, if you give that order, we will shoot our commanders before we shoot the people. And the commanders went back to Mubarak and said, you don't have the army backing you anymore. And that was the point at which we started to see things transitioning. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We're waiting for Mubarak to come on out and do his impersonation of Richard Nixon. And we'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio. maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, and we're watching the crowd there in Liberation Square in Cairo. They are cheering. The music is playing. They're partying like it's 1999. We're waiting for Mubarak to come on right now, and once again, there is a rumor that he has changed his mind and will announce that he intends to stay and fight this thing out. I can't think of anything stupider for this man to do at this moment when virtually the entire country, and to judge by his speech just a short while ago, even President Obama thinks it's all over for Mubarak. If he gets up there, if Hosni Mubarak gets up there and he says, I've changed my mind, I'm staying, what are you going to do about it? Egypt will explode. The streets in virtually every major Egyptian city are filled with pro-democracy activists, and they will just, their fury will be amazing to behold. And the problem is, when you get leaders who are thinking of themselves only and not what is good for their country, is where you get into situations like this. Obviously, Hosni Mubarak was always about Hosni Mubarak and not about the people of Egypt, or we would not be in this impasse to begin with. And there are reports that most of the protesters were not exactly delighted over the idea of Omar Suleiman being made the president. Then they heard that it was going to be a military government anyway, and Omar Suleiman would be maybe a figurehead, but wouldn't have quite the tyrannical authority that Mubarak did. Like I said, the rumors are flying all over the place. The latest one we're getting right now is that Mubarak has dug his heels in yet again. His fingernails are buried in the top of that desk in his office, and he's saying he's not going to go. Now, he was supposed to have started speaking at the top of the hour. We're about 12, 11 after right now, and we're still waiting. So when it happens, it will happen, and we will come back to that. All right, I'm going to skip on down here to some other things about, other news, because I don't want to comment anymore until we find out whether Mubarak is going or not. I think it would be an extraordinarily dumb thing for Mubarak to change his mind at this particular point. Now, an interesting story in all this, obviously, Israel is not at all happy about Mubarak going. They're even less happy about the possibility that the army is going to be in control of Egypt during the transitional period, because the Egyptian army has very little love for Israel, and already Israel is, has their lobbyists over in Washington, D.C. saying, you got to protect us! You got to protect us! And Israel's slaves in Washington, D.C. are saying, oh, yes, doesn't matter how many tax dollars it costs, doesn't matter how many American children have to get blown to bloody bits, we will protect Israel from all those mean, old, bad Arab Muslims. So as this situation unfolds, as it has unfolded to date, this has been a wonderful opportunity for the American people to look at their elected representatives and just get a first-class education as to who your elected representatives are really working for. Are they working for the American people? Are they working for what is best for the United States of America? Or are they just all hot and bothered that they got to go out and take care of Israel, no matter what it costs America and the American people? So, good little litmus test going around there. Now, as a little kind of a side note, and I stress this is unconfirmed, but there's a report going around, started this morning, that Saudi King Abdullah may have succumbed to a heart attack following what is reported as a screaming match with Obama on the phone. Now, like I said, this is unconfirmed, and the Saudi government is denying it. But on the other hand, pictures of Abdullah waving at the camera and saying, it was only a rumor, have yet to show up. And I remember back to Francisco Franco, when they kept, he's alive, he's fine, he's just great, and they went on for month and month and month and month. So all we can say for sure is that we don't know, and, we'll wait to get some information about that. If it does turn out that King Abdullah did pass away after talking to Obama, I think we should all buy Obama a bunch of prepaid long-distance telephone cards and mail them to the White House here. Now, here's an interesting story. As you know, I am... we got a caller on the line, Frank in Illinois. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much. How's it going today?
Good. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to see if I'm getting this straight. Now, the same government, our government, who's been involved in overthrowing democracies and meddling in Iran, installing shahs in Iraq, setting up Saddam Hussein, and then hunting down, training Osama bin Laden. Now we've kind of been kind of caught with our integrity around our ankles with this thing in Egypt. Now they're telling us, you know, we need to be fearful of the Muslim Brotherhood and the boogeyman and all this. Excuse me. I was wondering, in sorting out and getting to the truth of the matter, if you could give us your take on what you really think is going on here, or do you think that they'll continue to basically just act in behalf of Israel and what's better for them, despite what it costs the U.S. taxpayers and what's good for America?
Well, yeah, I absolutely think that the United States government is completely co-opted by Israel, the way Mubarak's government was completely co-opted by Israel, the way the Palestinian Authority is completely co-opted by Israel, and the people of the world are waking up to the reality that all of their governments have been subverted to Israel's purposes. Now, in terms of the United States of America, what we have lost in this debacle is not just tax money, not just our kids' lives and all these wars on Israel's enemies. We've lost our moral leadership. And what is really amazing is if Mubarak is in fact stepping down, it is a major political defeat and a loss of prestige, a loss of face for everybody who supported him. Barack Obama, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, John McCain, Joe Lieberman, all of these people who, before the eyes of the world, turned their back on the founding principles of the United States of America in order to please their Israeli masters. Now, Obama had that speech earlier today where he's out there talking about, you know, we're the will of the Egyptian people, and he's trying to backpedal. Like you said, his integrity is down around his ankles. He's trying to backpedal and make it sound like he was in favor of the Egyptian people charting their own future course anyway, but we know that is not true. He was saying one thing and he was doing completely another. And if Mubarak does in fact step down, regardless of the back room deals being made, remember, politics is perception, and the perception of the world is the Egyptian people forced a change of their leadership over the machinations of Israel and the United States of America. And it's going to send a message to every other country on earth that it's possible, that it can be done. What started in Iceland swept across Europe, unseated the government in Tunisia, and now seems poised to unseat the government in Egypt, is not going to stop. It's possible to throw the fascist economic dictatorships out of power and get your country back. Now, last week I was speculating that the reason the United States government was willing to abandon the founding principles of the United States of America in order to support Mubarak was they saw this as the last possible place where they could stop this movement of a global revolt against the globalist government. And if they couldn't stop it in Egypt, then it's not going to be stopped. And so I imagine everybody right now is just in a complete panic on this, and I have absolutely no doubt that a lot of phone calls are going into Mubarak's office saying, you can't quit. There's more than just Egypt at stake. If you quit, then people, you know, the serfs in the United States of America are going to start thinking that they can do it too. Which we do, because we did it back in 1776. So there, you know, everybody's agenda is involved in this. This kind of a situation where you have a country as large and as wealthy and as tied into the Middle East as Egypt, going through a change of leadership under the will of its own people, it's very unsettling to the entire region. You know, Israel's trying to get their licks in there. The United States is trying to get their licks in there. Obama is trying to backpedal and look like he supports what the Egyptian people are doing, even though by his actions over the last several days, very clearly, they wanted Mubarak to stay in office. They wanted a continuance of things as they'd been before. And the people of Egypt said, no, we've had 30 years of this. 30 years is enough. We are going to change things. And it's not even if Mubarak steps down and says, we're going to let Suleiman run the place, that may not send the protesters back home. At least half of them want the entire Mubarak machine pulled down from power. And they're absolutely right, because if they don't pull the entire machine down, then it's just going to come hunt all the protesters down one by one. They're kind of at a point where they can't turn around. They can't call it off. They can't go back to status quo ante. The government is not going to forgive and forget. If the protesters quit without seeing it all the way through, they're going to be hunted down and tortured and punished and executed one by one by one by one. They have to stand together. The Egyptian people stand a greater chance of surviving this if they see it all the way through to the end rather than quitting now, to surrender, maybe to die.
You and I have a very similar view of this chessboard, and I appreciate you squaring up to that. And remarkably, we had some of the same observations. I don't know if that's by fate or what, but I also was interested in asking you what you think their contingency plans are. You and I see Obama saying one thing in public, but one thing that's not been highlighted, and you kind of touched on it, can you imagine the fever of these AIPAC puppets between McCain and Hillary and the fever going on behind the scene to figure out whatever this Mubarak does is certainly, I think, with the blessing or the plan of, the best interests of Israel and the subverted United States. And then there has to be a contingency plan, too. And I was wondering if you could speak to that or if you think that's a little far-fetched.
Well, I think what probably makes the most sense, if in fact, and I'm getting more and more of these claims, these reports that Mubarak is going to announce that he is not stepping down, you know, after an entire day, we got to take a break here for commercials. We'll be right back. Stay on the phone, Frank. I'll be right back to you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Frank in Illinois. What would be the plan B? Well, I would say that if, in fact, the statements by Mubarak's information minister are true and he's going to basically come on TV and announce that he is not stepping down, we can expect a full-blown civil war inside Egypt. The rank and file of the army appears to be on the side of the protesters, so it's going to be pretty much evenly matched, and it's going to be very, very ugly, at which point the United States, in order to protect its strategic interests along the Suez Canal, will be justified in sending in the military, and it no longer becomes an issue of democracy versus oppression. It'll be sold to the American people as a necessity to keep the flow of oil from being interrupted, blah, 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 blah. And at that point, you know, Israel could come into the Sinai, and they could just start carving up the place. That, you know, that may be a good reason right there for Obama and for Netanyahu to be screaming at Mubarak on the phone right now, you know, don't quit. Go out and tell him you're going to stay. That'll start the riots. We'll come in and put you back in power with our army. I don't know. Yeah. It's all up in the air. We're basically, until Mubarak opens his yap, we're not going to know. Personally, I hope we're going to hear him say, you know, as I leave you, I want you to know you won't have Mubarak to kick around anymore, and he'll be out of there, and that'll be the end of it. But we're not going to know until we really know. But it is a major political embarrassment just to have gotten to this point.
Right. Mike, thank you so much for your tireless work, and thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Have yourself a good day, and let's see. Okay, we're getting a report. Saudi Arabia has apparently offered asylum to Mubarak if he cares to leave. We know that he also got the same offer from Germany. There's an unconfirmed rumor they're going to let him have the Führer bunker and that Adolf's pistol is still down there on the table if he cares to avail himself of it. All right, we're going to go on to another story here while we're waiting for Mubarak to do his thing here. Now, I'm a big fan of Michael Moore's movies, going all the way back to Roger and Me. I love Canadian Bacon. I make constant references to it. The only one of his films that I ever had a problem with was, of course, Fahrenheit 9-1-1, which, under the goading of his financial investors, the Weinstein partners, and his business manager, Ari Emanuel, who's Rahm Emanuel's younger brother. Michael Moore used Fahrenheit 9-1-1 to basically attempt to pin 9-11 on the Saudis. Now, this was kind of absurd at the time, because if you look at the way money flows in our world, Israel is constantly taking money out of the United States of America, which means the U.S. should have influence over Israel, but it doesn't happen. Saudi Arabia, on the other hand, it may take a lot of money out of the United States through gas and oil pricing, but it puts it right back in. Huge investment in the United States of America, which gives them quite a bit of influence. If the Saudi Arabian government had wanted to inflict harm on the United States of America, all they have to do is pull all of their money out of our markets and the whole thing would crash, and it would be perfectly legal. Wouldn't be an act of terror, would be perfectly legal within their rights to do that, but they didn't do it. Israel, on the other hand, can't pull money out of the United States of America. They don't really have a lot invested here. The money's always going one way over there. And of course, we now know, looking back on it, that the only people arrested around the World Trade Center on 9/11 all turned out to be Mossad agents. So Michael Moore got used. Okay, his investors and his business manager used Michael Moore to try and frame Saudi Arabia for 9/11. And in an appalling lack of gratitude, it turns out the Weinsteins have cheated Michael Moore on the revenues from his own movie. And now Michael Moore is having to basically take them to court. They not only used his movie to sell, to frame Saudi Arabia for 9/11, they basically cheated him on the money that was coming from the DVD revenue sales. It's now having to take him to court there. So maybe, Mr. Moore, if you or one of your friends are listening to this broadcast, maybe it's time for a new documentary, 9/11, The Final Revelation, and I'll help you produce it. I do know a little something about putting movies together. Not as good as you, I will admit, but still. All righty, let's see. Again, the events in Egypt are making everybody in this country very nervous about the potential for revolution. The latest scam that we're seeing going on, you know, along with all the seizures and cash for guns, apparently somebody's come up with this idea for Valentine's Day of offering to trade sex toys for guns. If you'll turn in that old shotgun, you know, in the state of Alabama, between now and Valentine's Day, you will get a bottle of personal lubricant and a super vibrator and baby doll pajamas and whatever for your lady love here. Now, on a more serious note here, and this relates to those of you who are going shopping in the immediate future, which we're going to be doing, Mexico has been hit this winter with the worst freeze in over 50 years. And along with similar disasters in Florida, their crops have been destroyed. Normally, during the winter months, fresh produce that is in United States supermarkets comes from Florida and Mexico primarily. And those crops have all been destroyed in this horrific freeze that Al Gore and the carbon Nazis kept telling us wasn't going to happen. You don't need to prepare for it. Don't worry about smudge pots or any of that other stuff. You're not going to need it. It's going to be a very mild, wonderful winter. Relax and have fun. And, of course, we got hit with this freeze. It's so bad that 35 animals froze to death in a zoo in Mexico. That's how cold it is. In Mexico, they're freezing to death. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're getting indications that Mubarak is going to be speaking within a minute. There's a rumor that it is not a live broadcast after all, but a recording. The story I'm getting from an inside source is that Mubarak had to make the recording because of concerns by those around him that he might go on TV promising to say one thing and say something else. And obviously, if he goes on TV and says, I'm staying, the protesters in the streets are saying it's all over. They're going to forcibly tear down the entire country rather than go on living under the tyrant. So we're just waiting to see what's going on. At one point, there was a story saying that they weren't going to let Mubarak speak at all because of concerns that it might provoke a violent reaction. And again, we don't know, you know, until we know. That's what's going on here. Alrighty, they're just, everybody's vamping till Q. Everybody's vamping till Q here. Alright, so we talked about the freeze. It's destroying food. So basically fresh produce is going to be very, very dear in American supermarkets because the global warming people said it's going to be a mild winter. You don't have to prepare to protect your crops from the hard freeze, and the farmers believed him, and by golly, there we are. Meanwhile, three counties north of Albany in New York are seeking federal agricultural disaster declaration to get funds for all of the barns and sheds that have been destroyed from the sheer weight of the snow that has dumped on them during this hard, hard winter. And again, the reason everybody was caught off guard, Great Britain, United States, all around the Northern Hemisphere. We've dealt with hard winters before. It's not that big a deal. But our government and our media and IPCC and NOAA and NASA and Al Gore and Hadley CRU and Penn State and all of this group caught up in this whole global environmental government plot, the carbon credit scam, kept saying it's warm, it's getting warmer, it's global warming, is hot, it's hot, it's hot. And so tire stores did not put in winter tires. Farmers did not buy adequate fuel supplies for their smudge pots to keep their crops from freezing. Warming centers did not put in enough fuel to keep the homeless from freezing. We've had homeless Americans freezing to death in the streets because of this cold. Now we've got all these blackouts down there in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico because of limits to coal-fired power plants to fight global warming. Yes, you're freezing to death, but it's good because we're fighting global warming. Now, meanwhile, the top federal union boss, federal workers have their own union, and he's basically come out and said that anybody who wants to cut government spending is mentally retarded. Never mind fiscal responsibility, never mind actually looking at where the money's coming from and where it's going to. We're going back to the old Soviet Union. If you question the government, you have mental problems. We don't need to address your concerns. We'll just diss you and send you off to the little happy home to keep things going there. Alrighty, Michigan, the state of Michigan, has actually set up a group, a panel, an infrastructure, if you will, an organizational body to deal with the expected flood of city bankruptcies. Municipalities, school districts, they're all going to start going bankrupt, and Michigan is already setting up an office to just basically process the paperwork and say, yeah, you're all bankrupt. Over in Las Vegas, 71% of Vegas homeowners' mortgages are underwater. 71% of all Las Vegas homes owe more money on the mortgage than the house itself is actually worth. But the U.S. government can afford to spend your money on warplanes for Israel and new roads and settlements and all the rest of that stuff here. Now, interesting little story. In downtown Chicago, there's a hotel there. Oh, we got a caller on the line, Mark in Texas. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon to you, Mike. You know, this winter blast of 2011 wouldn't really matter just a heck of a whole lot, except for the stupid municipalities that turned green on us. They had to go green. They just got green coming out their ears. And what they did was they put these stupid night setback thermostats on there to shut everything down as far as conditioning the air. It shut it down, and it stayed off all night long, and it busted the pipes. All because they wanted to go green, don't you know? Well, let me tell you what they save on electricity, they spent four times over having to fix the flooded buildings. That is the idiocy of some of the decisions that these people are being talked into. Thanks for letting me say my piece. I feel much better.
Well, I'm glad you feel much better, and you are absolutely right. And one of my big criticisms about the Green Movement and all the rest of this, they never think it through. It sounds good in a soundbite on the news, and they never think it all the way through. Like, ethanol was supposed to be carbon neutral. It wasn't, and it turned out to destroy the car engine fuel systems. Now, the compact fluorescent bulbs, oh, low cost, you'll save money, and you don't, because they burn out so fast, you're constantly having to buy new ones, and when you factor in the carbon footprint of continually remanufacturing the compact fluorescent light bulbs, it's actually greater than just going with the ordinary glass and tungsten light bulbs. Plus, if you break one, you've got mercury vapor and a radioactive isotope floating around on the air, which you wouldn't have with the old conventional light bulbs. But it sounded real good, and it was a way to get you to stop spending money on old-fashioned light bulbs and rush off to some new political contributor's product. And it's all about flogging the masses for a little bit more money, and it doesn't really matter if it makes sense or it doesn't. And you're absolutely right. It's the laws of unintended consequences. The rolling blackouts in Texas are what triggered the gas shutoffs in New Mexico, because nobody in government is thinking, what is this going to do? What will be the effects when we do this? Yes, we're going to do rolling blackouts because we've got to fight global warming. What happens when you cut off the power? Well, a lot of things can go wrong if the power gets cut off, including the shutting off of pumps of needed materials like water, which means the pipes will freeze, and gas, which means a manual turn on across the entire state. It took 5 days for some parts of New Mexico to get their gas back. And you're absolutely right. And it's all about politics and public relations, and nobody in government is really thinking, what is the real world consequence of what we're proposing here? Because they don't care. It's all about the money. Thank you very much for the phone call, Mark. Okay. The story we are getting now from Press TV is that Mubarak has already left Egypt, and the speech that is going to be broadcast momentarily, we're still waiting, is taped. Remember, we got the report about being taped a little bit before. Okay? And again, rumors are flying, and you need to understand a lot of the people in the Mubarak regime don't want to lose their jobs. And maybe a lot of them are just in denial. Maybe a lot of them are putting their own personal perceptions and spin on what they're hearing and seeing and saying, does that mean he's leaving or not? No, I don't think he's leaving, because if he's leaving, then I got to find a new job. You know, and how do you find a new job when your resume reads for the last 30 years, you know, official in regime that tortured its own people? That's a real job prospect killer right there. So that's the latest word we're getting from Press TV, is that Mubarak is already out of Egypt, and that the speech that we're about to see is taped. Again, everybody's got a different take on this, and we're just going to wait and see what happens. Okay, we've got George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
You know, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine.
I love global warming. Boy, my pipes bursted again last night.
Oh man, that is just terrible.
I'm going to steel pipes. I'm banning PVC.
Yeah, PVC is going to shatter, but even steel pipes will shatter. Actually, this is one of the reasons why copper pipes were so good before copper got to be too expensive for us serfs to use in our homes, because copper will actually stretch and give a little bit when the water freezes.
Well, but anyway, Mike, you know, talking about municipalities, you know, when I went down to Houston, you know, and I stayed the night and came back this morning, you know, there's a lot of stray animals because they don't have animal control no more, and I had a cat underneath my hood.
Yeah.
You know.
No, we have a big problem with that here in Hawaii. This year, the insect problem, we are on a tropical Pacific island, and insects tend to sort of come with the turf. This has been the worst year that anybody ever remembers, because the state government simply cut all the funding for what is politely called vector control. There's nobody going out and pouring kerosene on the standing water, and so we've got mosquitoes up the yin-yang, we've got dengue fevers coming back, and it's just horrific. And yeah, we've got a huge indigenous cat problem here, And we used to have a lot of wild chickens. They've all gone away. I think they wound up in people's pots as the starvation has set in. But we have a huge feral cat problem, and there's no money to do anything. We've got some of the worst roads in the country, just this little stretch from here down to the Safeway shopping center, and we're in an Xterra, big, burly, you know, supposedly off-road type vehicle, and just driving down there, and it's, we're shaking around, and my wife is flopping back and forth in her seatbelt and saying, you know, and it's just, it's horrific. And yet our government can spend all this money on war and Israel and propping up foreign governments, and it's just, it's completely nutso.
Well, you know, the thing is, I have a solution for these municipalities. That is, that means lay off the overpaid city managers.
What, are you some kind of an anarchist or something? No, you're absolutely right. When you look at the budgets for what's going on with our government, you know, there's a lot of really huge salaries at the top, and if there's anything left over, it gets spent on the people. But we have actually seen during the last couple of years in the United States where the bureaucracy will still be funded, and there's no money left over for them to actually do anything. And so they just sit there in their office day after day after day doing online porn or TV or whatever, and you say, why aren't you doing anything? Oh, there's nothing in the budget for us to work with. Why don't you fire a few people and spend that money on fixing the roads and the wiring and the light? Oh, no, no, we can't do that. Our position is protected by union this and regulation that. And it's just, there's always an excuse to go on just basically taking money from the public till, and a good excuse to not actually have to do anything in exchange for that money. And it, after a while, you begin to realize the system as a whole has just gone way too far corrupt to ever be repealed or repaired or restored. And that's when situations like Egypt start to happen, and it's gonna happen around the world now. The situation, they wanted to stop it in Egypt, they didn't. It's gonna go everywhere now. You're gonna start seeing more and more of these revolts against the fascist dictatorships of these other countries. They're gonna start falling like dominoes. It's gonna go right around the world. I figure by summertime it'll be here in the United States of America.
Well, I kind of see it like this. You know, you got a bunch of narcissists in Washington, and they don't really think about what the consequences are.
Okay, apparently they're just doing the... Mubarak is just starting to speak here. I can't play the feed, obviously, because of copyright restrictions. And, okay, he's just starting to talk. We'll just keep an eye on this thing. And we'll just see, he's either going to go or he isn't. And if he goes, it's all over, and we have a huge party tonight. And if he doesn't go, there's going to be a really ugly party on the streets of Cairo tomorrow. Anything else, George?
I'll just say one thing. We got a bunch of narcissists in Washington that really have a mental blind spot to reality of how mad the people are.
Oh, and they absolutely do.
And, you know, and it's like, I noticed that. I met Obama, and I noticed I got chills because this guy's a narcissist. He has no clue about what life's really about and how people live. And I have a feeling the United States government is going to be pushed back so hard, it's going to knock them on their butt. They ain't going to know what hit them.
Mm-hmm.
I sense it happening.
Yeah, it is, you know, the intelligence agencies... totally missed this one. Okay, the reason I'm hemming and hawing, I'm reading the closed captioning, and so far it looks to me like Mubarak is saying that we're going to come down hard on the democracy movement. Oh, man, this is not going to be good. It's going to be civil war now.
It's blood in the streets of Cairo.
It's going to be horrible, and I'll bet you the U.S. will use this as an excuse to send our kids in uniform in to die on the streets of Egypt, you know, for Israel. And it's just, you know, this is what happens when you have leaders who are thinking only of themselves and not of their people. Because if Mubarak had any kind of respect for his country and his people, he would have been gone long before now. So this is not looking good at all. All right, George, I'm going to let you go. We got a bunch of other callers on the line I want to get to. Jim in Arizona. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Jim, are you there?
Yeah, hello. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, just real quick before I get to the topic I called in about was you know, if my bike does go, which it doesn't look like he is, but if he does, of course, he just wants to be on the side that's winning with the wealth and the power, and the hell with everybody else. He just wants to be in that clique, you know. So even if they do replace him, you know, I hope the Egyptian people and the world is watching and ensures that a rattlesnake doesn't get replaced by a coral snake, you know, something that's worse than him. Mm-hmm. But what I called about was the general use of the term green movement and radical environmentalist. It's sort of a blanket statement which includes everyone that has an environmental concern or is working in an environmental organization for a cause, for whatever it is. And I think we need to be a little more careful to designate the good ones from the bad ones and realize that nature is the life support system of the planet and that humans can alter it in such a way as to make the place uninhabitable for not only species but humans as well. And
let me back up here and clarify something, because I absolutely do love nature and I believe in the wise use of our limited resources. My concern is that all too often the con artists and the sharpsters basically prey on our fears about our concerns for the environment in order to sell us products and to basically push an agenda for taxation and control over our lives, and they wind up actually being far more destructive of the environment than simply leaving it alone.
Well,
the reality is, in most cases, and the failure of the global warming cultists to predict the hard winter is a perfect example. They don't really know what they're talking about. It's just trying to shout and scream, crisis, crisis, emergency, emergency, you must give me money and I will save you from insert something here. Now there's a whole new group that's out there trying to say that the Earth's magnetic pole is moving and it's a huge crisis, and it's just like global warming. The Earth's magnetic pole is always shifting. It always has. Always will. It's
I need
not...
to say something real quick, if I could, please.
Okay, we got to take a break. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay on the phone.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I'm watching the rest of Mubarak's speech here. And I have to tell you, I am utterly, utterly dismayed. The entire country hates this man. And he's standing up there and saying, you're all wrong for defying me. We're going to come down on you. And very clearly, he is not relinquishing power at all. This does look like it was probably a taped message, and he's probably in hiding someplace because he knows that he has just sent his own country into a bloody, bloody civil war. But apparently, to a fascist dictatorship, it's okay to have half your population killed if it makes the other half much more loyal, or something to that effect. Mubarak has just destroyed his own country in the name of his own greed and money addiction. I'm watching the people who are in that square in Cairo. They're not even moving. They are so silent. And you can just feel the anger building. The man is out of his mind. He has just condemned his own country to a bloody, bloody civil war. I'll tell you, this proves it, the old truism. Political power attracts the very sort of people who should never, ever be allowed to have it. If you're going to be the leader of a country, you should be thinking what's best for the country. That's the idea. That's what democracy in a republic is all about, that you're taking care of your country. And if you're not, that the people say you should leave and you leave. If anybody had a doubt that this man is a dictator and a tyrant, and put that to rest right now. Okay, Jim in Arizona, anything else before we let you go?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. I want to talk about Mubarak. That's very important, but I called about, you know, just this blanket statement that green movement, radical environmentalists, You know, it's all encompassing. You know, we hear about global warming constantly, which is a fraud in the forest, and it's, I think it's intended to give the environmental movement a black eye, a bad name, destroy the credibility for real environmental issues, and I'm primarily
well,
concerned.
Well, then the real environmentalists have got to stand up and denounce the phonies, and so far
exactly.
They're not very good at doing that, okay?
We're
running out of time, Jim. I really don't want to get on this topic today with the situation in Egypt being what it is.
I understand.
So thank you very much. We're going to let you go. Switch over to Linda in Rhode Island. Aloha, Linda. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Hello, is Linda there? Okay, let's go over to Scott in Wisconsin. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I'm just checking in again. You know, I'm not going to speak too much of that over there, but you're exactly right. And, hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you a question first. Is there a big pipeline that goes through that area?
Well, there's all kinds of pipelines all over that whole area.
Right,
natural gas
right,
and
exactly.
Petroleum.
And it goes
plus
back to
Suez
what we were...
Plus, the Suez Canal is a major artery for cargo and tanker ships.
Right, right, exactly. I just seen today on RBN that our great leader in the White House are going to cut the benefits for the heat and all that for the poor people. It's right on RBN.
Yeah, well, you know,
I
by
mean,
golly, we got to buy more F-35s for Israel so they can kill the Palestinians.
Well, you know, Michael, that whole area over there is like a powdered dynamite keg ready to blow, and I just foresee, like I was talking to you in the past, this is the puppet game over there, and you're right, this could blow up to be so big, and this could push oil prices through the roof, and we were talking about $5 a gallon for gas. Heck, that would probably be the lowest if this thing gets out of hand over there.
Oh, this is going to have the ramifications of this, you know, the civil war. I mean, this could be the start of World War III. They may have just decided, here's our opportunity. Let's get a good world war going, and we'll just go off and have our kids murder the people that we owe money to. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I guess the entire world and certainly the Egyptian people are coming to grips with the fact that Mubarak is not stepping down despite an entire days of rumor. To the contrary, things just got much, much worse. Things would have been better if he had just kept his darned mouth shut instead of getting everybody's expectations up and then dashing them with this speech. The whole place is just going to explode. The man's an idiot. He's out of his mind. If Egypt has an equivalent of the 25th Amendment, now's the time to call it in. The man is destroying his own country just to feed his own money addiction. I mean, you can forget about tourism for the next 5 years. Nobody's going to want to go in and look at all the bullet holes all over the place. It's a disaster. Mubarak has brought a disaster on his own people just so he can feed his money addiction again. This is going to get bloody now. Okay, Linda, let's see. Linda in Rhode Island, I guess you're back now. Aloha, Linda. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. On Tuesday on CNN News, the headline of the story is Detroit offers police officers deals on foreclosed homes. Listen to this. The town has 200 homes. They're going to sell them to cops and firefighters for $1,000 each. And they're going to give them, not loan them, $150,000 to fix them up.
They're pillaging the people.
Yeah.
They're pillaging the people. We're going to take the homes away from you, and we're going to give them to our loyal servants.
Yeah, and the little article, did you just make it sound so lovely? Police officers living in their neighborhoods have the potential to deter crime, improve public safety, and increase the relationship between the community and our sworn officers.
I thought they were doing that already. Don't they live in the community, or do they keep them in like some giant hotel over there behind?
Well, my town has to, including the school teachers, but there's a lot of towns that you don't have to live in the town that you're a police officer or a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this was one of the towns, Detroit. So I just wanted to let you in on that. I mean, it's crazy. giving them $150,000, it's not going to be a loan. They're going to give them the money to fix it up.
Well, if you're getting that kind of money, I guess you're going to be willing to go out and bash a few heads should it become necessary.
Well, that was in Tuesday's news on CNN. If anybody wants to look at that Tuesday in CNN. So thanks, Mike. I listen to your show every day. I love it.
Right,
you come out of the starting gates and you go for it. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Linda. All right. Stephen, Ontario, real quick. We're almost at the end of the segment here. What's on your mind?
Happened to pick up on an article that was just released from Veterans Today. And they're saying here that, according to senior intelligence officials, Vice President Suleiman, there was a major assassination attempt on him last night. Two of his bodyguards were killed in the attempt, and it doesn't say whether or not he escaped or not, but I'm just wondering, would have that maybe affected Mubarak's decision to stay on, because he knows that he's the next target to get taken out if he leaves the country or leaves power?
Oh, if he leaves power and leaves the country, he's less of a target. Right now, Mubarak has just painted a big bullseye on his own forehead, which is probably, I think, why this is a taped message, and he's already skedaddled. He doesn't want to be here for what's going to happen. But Mubarak has just painted a bullseye on the forehead of everybody who supported him, all of his police, all of his minor government officials. He has set them all up to be slaughtered in a major bloodbath. He could care less about them. He just wants one desperate final grab to feed his money addiction. And no sacrifice of other people's lives is too great for him to just have another go at the public trough there. I mean,
yep.
The guy's only got about $40 billion he siphoned out of American, you'll pardon the expression, foreign aid over the last 30 years.
Yep.
And but it's not enough. It's like Bernie Madoff, as much money as he had. Got to have more. It's the money addicts who are destroying the world.
Did I bring up one more thing?
Yeah, real quick.
After the break?
We got to take a break here.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And Mubarak has finished speaking, and the crowd in Liberation Square, they're starting to go nuts. It's just, the anger is just, it's palpable in the air. We're getting a report that Egypt's foreign minister, Ahmed Al-Boul Gheit, is saying that the United States applied pressure to Mubarak not to step down. So if you want to know why all this flip-flopping was going on and why it ended up the way that it did, if we are to believe this report, Obama's in there meddling again with other people's countries. We're going to go back to, we were talking to Stephen, Ontario. Where did we leave off? Oh, the assassination attempt on the VP. I don't know how credible that story is. One of the problems we're dealing with right now is a lot of phony stories are being put out to keep up the confusion to try and delay the formation of consensus. And, Mubarak's speech did not convince anybody. The Egyptian people are furious. They understand that they're really down to basically two choices: going back to being slaves and being hunted down and killed one at a time, or seeing this all the way through to the end and pulling down Mubarak's entire government and stringing them all up on piano wire.
Yeah, no, it's going to get real interesting here. And here's the new twist. Fox, MSNBC, and MSN News are all now touting the fact that there are now serious concerns about Egypt's developing weapons of mass destruction their nuclear program. So you know what's next. You were dead on when you said, guess whose boys are going in there next, because now this is going to be the U.S.'s way to go in there militarily, is they're going to push this whole propaganda about WMDs again in Egypt, and they're going to say, well, we've got to go in for our own security. We can't have Egypt in there with weapons of mass destruction.
Do they really think that we don't see through this? Do they really think that we, the American people, are that stupid?
That we I don't know.
Know that this is a crock and it stinks to high heaven.
They must, Mike. They. What other reason would it be for them to put that out to the main news agencies that that's a concern of theirs, other than they just believe they can pull it again?
I think they're trying to reassure themselves that they're still able to lie us into wars left and right. I mean, one of the reasons Mubarak is in the mess that he's in is he and his government completely misjudged what the real Egyptian people were thinking and feeling about the government. And at this point, if our government is trying that weapons of mass destruction nonsense yet again, then they are clearly out of touch with what's going on here in the American heartland of what we're thinking and feeling and how insulted we are by a government that continues to tell us the same lies over and over and over again and stands there demanding that we believe them.
Yeah. Next thing you know, they're going to be saying Mubarak has been supporting Al-Qaeda, you know, and they'll be using that, and I don't know what's coming next.
No, Mubarak's the good guy. Mubarak's the good guy. They're going to say Al-Qaeda was in there with the Muslim Brotherhood and the protesters, and Al-Qaeda was trying to foment revolution, and they're going to start demonizing the democracy movement as hard as they can in order to justify propping up yet another dictator. I don't know that they can do it.
All I know, the next thing that is going to happen is there is going to be a massive terrorist attack in Egypt within the next 24 hours, and they're going to blame it on the people, on the democracy movement.
Suez Canal. It's going to be Suez Canal. Because
something, they're going to sink a ship in the Suez Canal or do something, and they're going to blame it on the democracy, the Muslim Brotherhood, whatever. They got to blame it on those people and quell this right away because... I don't know. This is crazy.
It is. I think it was an absolute move of desperation. I don't think it's going to work. I think the Egyptian people are going to be even more furious than they were before. Things just got worse, and it all is going to come down to which side the army is going to come down on. And the last I heard from that Press TV report, the army, the rank and file, not the officers, but the rank and file of the army are on the side of the protesters.
Oh, sure, because their mom and dads that are in the street, their brothers
exactly
and sisters.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think if the United States goes into Egypt, we're going to get stuck there the way we are in Iraq, the way we are in Afghanistan, and they will grind us up because soldiers who are invading another country for a paycheck, no matter all the wonder weapons they're being given, they cannot possibly fight as effectively as people who are fighting for homes and loved ones they can see right before their eyes. That was the lesson of Vietnam. I don't know why our country cannot learn it.
Yeah.
But that's definitely what's coming down.
Well, let's see what the price of oil does overnight tonight.
Oh,
it might hit 110.
It's going to explode. Oh, the stock market has just soared ever since Mubarak said he's not stepping down. You know,
really?
Yes! Rip those slaves back into their pens there. All right, we're going to let you go. We got another caller on the line.
Right.
Ernie in Indiana. Aloha, Ernie. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
I'm looking at Suez Canal Authority, and 52 ships passed through it today, so I don't see any problems there. Now, State Department incompetence. I'm going to put some of the blame there. Them, Georgetown, Pratt House, all those characters need to be tossed out.
Along with the Secretary of State.
Never listened to ever again, because they've completely messed this country's foreign policy.
Yeah, they absolutely have. And again, in this day and age of global interactive media, the United States government is throwing its own historical self-image and reputation away in order to meddle in another country. The United States government is not going to come out of this mess with its reputation, of believing in democracy intact. It can't.
Well,
I should have been
suspicious
when Obama looked so cheerful this morning at his speech.
Here's something for folks in Hawaii. Uncle Scam's M.O., it's in Chapter 22 of Triumphant Plutocracy. The whole dirty mess about Hawaii is in there. And you might want to post that on your website sometime, just that chapter.
All right. Well, can you email that to me right now?
I'll do my best.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you
go
here.
Thanks, Mike.
All righty, I think that clears our phone lines here. You know, obviously people are getting angry. I think the shock is the people in Egypt, in Liberation Square, and obviously, you know, Mubarak, you know, calculated, he delayed the speech until basically 11 o'clock at night. It's in the middle of the night there. People are tired. You know, their energy is low, and then they're all out there just screaming and singing, and it's great. We're finally going to win. And then Mubarak comes out and says, "No, I'm not going to leave." And you know, I'm gonna figure the shock will last through most of the night, and then probably tomorrow morning, the people of Egypt are going to realize that there is no more possibility of compromise. There's no more possibility of going back to status quo ante. It is all or nothing, victory or death. And I hate to resort to cheap cliches like that, but it's really come down to that. Mubarak has basically said the only way he will end his term in office is when he is dead, like Ceausescu, like Charles I, like Mussolini, like Louis XVI. And I think the people of Egypt are educated enough to understand that that is exactly what Mubarak has just said. That he is president for life, no matter what the people want. Now, I don't know where Mubarak is. My guess is that he is probably in hiding, because he understands that he has just ignited a civil war in his own country. You ever see a nasty kid, little nasty boy, when you're young, and they knock over anthills just to see the ants scurry around, or they'll goad little animals into fighting each other, you know, like or even bigger kids with, you know, cockfights and bear baiting and dog fights and all the rest of that stuff? That's what Mubarak just did to the people of Egypt. He has set them at each other, and he's going to sit back and just watch the fun. And when it's all over, whoever's still alive, you know, you're back to being my loyal slave. And we've got a bunch of stones for you to take up to the top of my pyramid. That's what Mubarak is basically doing to all of Egypt. He's turned it into a giant gaming arena. And he's setting his people to fight each other for his amusement. You, slaves, you amuse me. Go out and kill each other. So I think he's out of his mind. Again, total, complete sociopath, could care less the suffering and misery that he is bringing to the people of the country that he is in charge of, supposedly. Could care less. Perfectly willing to let half of them die if it'll make the other half much more useful to him and his money addiction. So I don't think there's going to be any possibility of a military coup or Vice President Suleiman assuming power. It's an all-or-nothing situation right now. That's what Mubarak basically said. It's an all-or-nothing thing. You're going to take me as I am, or you're going to have to take out the entire government. And I think it may wind up being that last one. Like I said, Ceausescu made the same mistake. And he got machine gunned for it on Romanian national television. It's all going to come down to which side the army is on, and how overtly the United States is willing to send in military force to basically crush down Egypt's democracy movement so that Israel feels comfortable about having a pet dictatorship in power there. But it's going to be a Pyrrhic victory. Even if the United States succeeds in sending in the Marines and the fighter planes and the warplanes and bombing the democracy movement into extinction, it will be a Pyrrhic victory. Because you cannot attack the democracy movement without attacking democracy itself, and that is the end of the United States' moral reputation. We'll be right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. We're watching developments here in Liberation Square, and just watching the crowd, you get a sense of the building anger, and it's just, it's like watching a steam engine, you know, and you have to basically stoke it and let it heat for hour after hour after hour until finally it's ready to actually do some work, and you just get the sense, just that seething, angry crowd. Now, apparently, a large number of people have left Liberation Square. They're heading down along the Nile, and one theory is that they're probably going to storm state television, and they're probably going to slap them around for having broadcast this speech in the first place. And the other theory is that they're heading for Mubarak's imperial palace. And I'll tell you right now, he's not there. He knows what he has just brought down on his own country. He's not there. He may be out of the country already, and he's just going to let his underlings deal with the problem. You know, I am staying. I am supreme, fancy, high pharaoh, poobah over all Egypt, and I'm going to leave while you guys deal with the bloodshed. So maybe the crowd that's going to state television will confirm that it was, in fact, a videotape and that Mubarak is out of the country. But even if they seize Mubarak's palace and it is empty, it is still a symbolic and significant victory. Because building by building, when you have an entire population of a country that is determined to take their country back, they will get it. Remember, the American Revolution kicked out the British Army and Navy, then the mightiest military force in the world, with only the support of one-third of the population of the colonials. And they still won. In this case, you have 80 to 90 percent of the people of Egypt want Mubarak's government gone. They're on the move right now. Yeah, they're going through the streets. This is going to be going all night and into tomorrow. I would say when the sun rises tomorrow, those people who went to bed tonight thinking that Mubarak was going to be stepping down, and when they get up tomorrow and they find out how Mubarak just flipped them the bird, yeah, it's, you know, this is a disaster. What Mubarak has done to his own people, out of his own greed and his own money addiction, the misery and bloodshed and violence he has brought down on his own country is an unforgivable crime. And he deserves to wind up the way Charles I did, or Ceausescu, or Mussolini, or Louis XVI, or those ancient Celtic kings who keep bobbing up to the surface of the peat bogs in Britain. So, it's angering to think of all the people who are going to be wounded and killed because Mubarak is not willing to accept the will of his people. And it's angering that our government is willing to commit treason against the very soul of our nation to support him. All right, looks like the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We're going to move on to some other things and other topics here. Obviously, this situation is going to continue to evolve over the next several days. My sympathies are very much with the people of Egypt, with the right of a people to alter and abolish governments that are destructive of their societies, which seems to be the norm around the planet Earth right now. And yeah, furious is the word. Furious is the word. All righty. Now, I was starting to talk about earlier, there's a hotel in downtown Chicago, the Blackstone Hotel. It is a luxury hotel. It's very high-end. It has hosted 12 U.S. presidents who visited there over the years. It was reopened in 2008 after a two-year renovation costing $116 million. It's like buffed marble staircases. It's brass. It's mirrors. A room for a night costs $699. It is a place where the wealthy go. It is opulent. And the renovation was financed by a federal program that was supposed to be helping poor communities. And instead, the money, instead of going to the poor communities, went to this very shishi hotel in downtown Chicago to fix it up and polish the marble and the brass. Talking about you know, stealing from the poor to give to the rich, which is exactly what just happened. So, let's see, moving right along here. They're just now getting northern New Mexico back online with gas, and unfortunately another storm is coming in right now. Taos County prepares for fifth night without gas. Now, the other day we were talking about Ron Paul's possibly running for a 2012 presidential bid and Sarah Palin possibly endorsing him, and it appears that the website that was shut down, the 2012 Sarah Palin website, was not run by Sarah Palin herself, but one of her associates who has broken faith, as it were, deserted camp, and gone over to Ron Paul. There's a lot of that camp deserting going on. Apparently, some of WikiLeaks volunteers who were very upset that they were volunteering and Julian Assange was raking in the money in millions of dollars, basically deserted his organization some time ago and apparently took with them the proprietary software, was the property of one of the volunteers, not of Julian Assange. And they took the software that allowed for anonymous leaking submissions. So WikiLeaks can't accept leaks right now and hasn't been able to for months. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I am going to stick with this thing in Egypt a little bit longer because I'm thinking about it. And I'm going to speculate a little bit here. Do you remember how over the last 17 days, the media kept saying any day the protesters are going to give up hope and they'll go back to being slaves? Any day they're going to get tired. Any day they're going to give up hope. Any day it's, you know, they can't keep it up. We can outlast them. And every day the crowds got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Finally, with the trade unions joining them and the army beginning to side with them. So what I think Mubarak may have tried to do was put out the rumor that he was going to resign, get everybody all hot and bothered. Then he comes on and he makes a speech and saying, I'm staying, ha, 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 ha. And he may have been thinking that that disappointment, that discouragement, might have crushed the morale of the democracy movement. And they would have said, oh, we can't do this, and they would just go home. And I think he's miscalculated. Because they were miscalculating all along when they kept saying, the protesters are going to quit. They're going to get tired, they're going to give up, they're going to quit. And it never happened. And I think Mubarak just made the biggest mistake of his entire lifetime. Because instead of discouraging the protesters, he has pissed them off to an unbelievable degree. I think they've gone, we're past the tipping point. They're not interested in talk. They're not interested in reason. They're not interested in debate. They're not interested in concessions. Now they're angry. They are furious. We are seeing Omar Suleiman coming on and trying to basically follow up to Mubarak saying, yeah, things are going to go on the way they were before with torture and poverty and everything, but that's what makes Egypt great and blah, blah, blah. Nobody's listening to him. Like I said, the last report we had, a large number of the protesters in Liberation Square have broken off and are marching up the road that leads both to state television, where Suleiman is broadcasting from right now, may also be a taped message, and the presidential palace. But I think they just miscalculated very, very badly, because those people look really, really angry. All right, moving right along here. Been a lot of talk about Jane Harman's resignation from Congress. We're seeing a lot of resignations all of a sudden. maybe a portent of something big about to happen, maybe not. Jane Harman, of course, was one of Israel's absolute boosters in Congress, and a lot of people are celebrating her departure. She's going over to work at a think tank from where she will attempt to steer the U.S. government for Israel's benefit without necessarily being hostage to the voters anymore. Of course, as you know, Jane Harman was hit with a major scandal when she was caught on a national security wiretap promising a suspected Israeli spy that she, Jane Harman, was going to lobby the Bush administration regarding the AIPAC spy case. Remember, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee was caught spying in the Pentagon. In fact, it was a two-way linkage where information was going out of the Pentagon to AIPAC to Israel, and then disinformation, a lot of the lies that led to the war in Iraq, came from Israel through AIPAC back into the Pentagon through this little conduit without any fact-checking. Nobody else was looking at it, and all these claims wound up then in the speeches made by the White House to say, yeah, we got to go get those gosh darn Iraqi-type people. So she was neck deep in that she was lobbying the Bush administration to let the AIPAC spies off the hook, which actually did happen, because instead of being charged with espionage, which would have put them all in jail along with Jonathan Pollard, the prosecution changed it to, I believe the exact phrasing was, inappropriate distribution of classified information, which not only carries a much lighter penalty, but actually has a higher burden of proof. And so, needless to say, the Israeli spies got off the hook, and that was kind of the end of the matter. All righty, let's see. As you know, we had this whole Super Bowl situation, and as you know, they had problems getting the roof of the dome to unfreeze because it wasn't designed to deal with the hard winters that we were told weren't going to be a problem anyway. And as a publicity stunt promoting America's militarism, five Navy F-18 Hornets flew all the way from Virginia Beach, Virginia, to the Cowboys Stadium, overflew the arena, and then flew back. Total cost to the taxpayers, $450,000. Almost $500,000 for this little jaunt in the aircraft back and forth. And the people inside the stadium weren't able to see it because of the problems with the dome roof. They had to watch it on TV. Now, down in the Gulf of Mexico, we are still seeing problems surface there. There are people who've moved down there who were in perfect health. Now they're suffering seizures from exposure to all these chemicals. Apparently, 100,000 dead fish washed up on the beaches along the west coast of Florida February 7th, just a couple of days ago. And the official declaration is, there wasn't enough oxygen in the water to keep them alive. Okay, all well and good. Why isn't there oxygen in the water? Is it because of the petroleum? Is it because of the Corexit? Is it because of the fact that ocean life, plant life, planktons, seaweed, that would put oxygen into the water for the fish to use have all been killed off by the Gulf oil disaster? And, of course, the answer to that is yeah. The Gulf oil disaster has turned the Gulf of Mexico into a dead zone, just an absolute dead zone. And we're continuing to see it. It is the largest man-made environmental disaster in the history of the world. And Barack Obama had just waved his magic wand last summer and said, it's all gone away. You are impolite to notice it any longer. Now, meanwhile, in order to deal with the economic devastation along the Gulf Coast, or in less polite terms, to shut them the heck up before the elections, all that seafood coming out of the Gulf that nobody wants to eat because it tastes funny and you get the runs and all those other problems, well, the U.S. government has a solution for that. They don't want those people there to go out of business and not pay taxes anymore. So the U.S. military is now buying Gulf of Mexico seafood to feed to the troops. Ordinary Americans won't touch the stuff. Don't worry, we'll buy it and we'll feed it to our soldiers. because they're in the middle of a desert, and it's not like they have a choice. They'll eat it because it's either eat this Gulf seafood or starve. And they're used to really crappy food in the military anyway. So apparently the U.S. government, on behalf of the military, is buying fish, shrimp, oysters, crab cakes, packaged Cajun dishes, and they're all just basically being given to 72 base commissaries along the East Coast and in our various politely called war zones here. Vice President, former Vice President Dan Quayle, has now joined the growing chorus of American congressional presidential traitors, calling on Obama to free convicted, confessed Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard. You know, there's an old saying that if you don't punish spies, they'll just go on spying. And we know that the Mossad agents who were arrested, dancing and cheering and clapping while the World Trade Towers were collapsing, they were just sent back home to Israel. And if you just grab the spies and you send them back home, then they're going to come back, because what are they going to lose? Go spy on America. They'll never do anything to you. They'll just send you back home. Now, Jonathan Pollard inflicted major damage on America's nuclear deterrent. His treason is unimaginably harmful to the American interests. Basically, Jonathan Pollard stole classified information about America's nuclear deterrent, and he sold it to Israel for nowhere near what it cost the U.S. taxpayer to create that information in the first place. Such a deal. Israel turned around and bartered that information on America's nuclear deterrent to the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the very people the nuclear deterrent existed to deter. And Israel traded it to the USSR in exchange for increased emigration quotas for Russian Jews to come to Israel. That was the deal. And in so doing, completely compromised America's nuclear deterrent. Now, whether you believe in nuclear weapons or not, and personally I think we'd all be better off without them, starting with Israel, that nuclear deterrent cost a lot of money. That nuclear deterrent, America's nuclear deterrent, cost my parents' generation roughly $5 trillion to create, and that's back when $1 trillion was really a lot of money. Not today, where Bernanke flips on the printing press and drops $12, $13 trillion all over Wall Street to deal with the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities. We're talking 1950s, when trillion was a word hardly anybody ever heard. And based on the information that Jonathan Pollard stole and gave to Israel, and Israel gave to the USSR, had the USSR decided they needed to attack the United States of America at that point, they would have succeeded, because they would have known what the U.S. deterrent was prepared to deal with and what it was not prepared to deal with. They would have known where the rockets were aimed, where they were located, where they were heading. All the information necessary to defeat America's nuclear deterrent. That's what Jonathan Pollard stole. And it is shameful to see so many American politicians who are standing up there in that chorus about, oh, he's suffered enough, he's such a good boy, not counting the fist fight with Bernie Madoff. You know, we should send him, he's a hero, send him home. You know, they got streets named after him in Israel. You know, he's a big hero over there for betraying the United States of America to Israel so that Israel could betray the United States of America to the Soviet Union. He's a big hero over there. And now former Vice President Dan Quayle is on that list of like, oh, come on, you know. So basically, I think at this point, Israel owns all of them, all of the members of Congress. I think it's easier to count the ones that are not owned by Israel. And that's going to simplify the list building. Okay, who is not owned by Israel? Well, let's see. I don't think Ron Paul is. Cynthia McKinney, definitely. And I'll get back to you in the rest of that whole situation here. Now, I want to share a story with you. This came out just in the last couple of days, and I think it's quite alarming here. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm taking a look at what's going on in Cairo. And, yeah, pretty much everybody's saying if Mubarak thought this was going to be the end of this situation, he was definitely, definitely wrong. Now, we all know about the problems with aspartame. And we all know that American commerce consists of buying enough scientists and media to demonize a product everybody's already been using and convince them that they must spend more money to go with a new and improved product of dubious efficacy and possible major side effects. If you look at some of the new blockbuster ads for pharmaceuticals on TV where they say, yes, you know, this will cure acne, and then the little voice at the end says, you know, if you take this stuff, your nose may drop off. You know, your arm may turn inside out, your hair will turn gray, green, blue, and orange, peach, taupe, and mauve, and you realize the side effects are worse than the drug. But and again, it's like brainwashing people into spending more money for less product. You're going to spend more money for a compact fluorescent bulb that lasts half the time of the old-style tungsten bulb and is far more toxic to dispose of. And it goes on and on and on. And sweeteners are big business. You know, for a long time, everybody had sugar. Oh, sugar's great. No, sugar's bad for you. Ooh, sugar's bad. Got to have artificial sweeteners because, you know, we're a nation of fatties and we've got to start losing weight. So we're going to give you artificial sweeteners that allow you to have a sweet taste without any calories. Okay, and then we had saccharin. And then saccharin was linked to cancer. That turned out to be a false report, by the way. And saccharin is still available in the market. But it got everybody away from saccharin and, oh, we're going to go to all these other artificial sweeteners. And we know about the situation with aspartame, which before it was lobbied into existence as an artificial sweetener, was classed as a biological weapon by the Pentagon. Because in large doses, it overstimulates the neurons of the brain. It's called an excitotoxin. And it will basically stimulate the neurons in your brain, and it depletes certain neurotransmitters, causing the brain to start suffering damage. But Donald Rumsfeld, when he was with Sear, basically lobbied and politicked his way through having this declared to be the new artificial sweetener. And it's been out there. It's in so much. They even put it in ketchup. And it's got serious, serious health consequences. We know about aspartame can create symptoms that are very similar to Parkinson's disease. If it gets too warm, it gets very, very toxic. And yet, because of the political power, you know, we're all making huge amounts of money on aspartame, so by golly, you will go on eating it, whether it's good for you or not, because it's good for my wallet kind of a thing. Now we're seeing a report, a study that's come out that young people who drink diet soda, as they're constantly exhorted to do, are suffering strokes. I have my youngest brother who was in the middle of a health kick, hiking 3 days a week, you know, lost a lot of weight, you know, checking with the doctor. But he, growing up, drank a lot of these diet sodas. You know, I'm very lucky. I got off of them, you know, 10, 12, 14 years ago. I stay away from diet sodas. But kids on these diet sodas have a 60% higher possibility of suffering a stroke. And what's really amazing is the TV station where I saw this story ended the report by saying, oh, by the way, this should not change your habits regarding diet sodas. It's interesting and, you know, it's peer reviewed and this does seem to be real, but really you shouldn't change your diet soda consumption habits, you know, at all. And so what's going on here is obviously, and it was ABC television where I saw this, and obviously ABC television derives a large amount of their advertising revenue from diet soda manufacturing companies. And so obviously they got on the phone and said, look, you've got to say something. You know, we can't have people stop drinking diet soda just because it might stop their heart or something. That we look at our stock would plummet. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just scratch yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're wrapping up our program here. What a roller coaster of a day. We started out this morning, obviously, with announcements from people within Mubarak's government that he was going to step down. Everybody got all excited about it. Then all of a sudden, at the last second, Mubarak gets up there and says, no, I'm not going anywhere. And in so doing, appears to have plunged Egypt into a bloody civil war. Now, I don't think anybody who is a reasonable, moral human being can accept as justifiable when a leader will inflict such harm on his own people merely to stay in power. Clearly, Mubarak is not a man who is thinking what is best for Egypt. He's a man who's thinking what's best for Mubarak. And that's a poor excuse for a leader, and absolutely proves that the concerns of the Egyptian people were absolutely valid. Mubarak is not a man who is doing what is best for Egypt. He's a man who's doing what's best for Mubarak, so that he gets that $1.5 billion every year from the U.S. government to make nice with Israel, to the detriment of his own people. A couple of stories before we finish up the show here today. Despite the defeat in the House of Representatives, the GOP leadership is getting ready to try once more to bring the Patriot Act extensions back to the floor for yet another vote. They're desperate. They see what happened in Egypt. They know it's coming here. It's going to get bloody in Egypt, and the U.S. government knows they have abused the American people more than Mubarak did the Egyptians. The fraud closure situation, the Gulf oil disaster, not owning up to that, endless wars started with lies, plundering the lives of 300 million American people to give money to Israel to commit atrocities against the Palestinians with, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So they want that Patriot Act back. They're afraid. They're afraid of you. The U.S. government is terrified of you. They're terrified that you're going to stand up in the streets and you're going to say, no, I will not be your slave anymore. They're going mad with fear over you right now. Meanwhile, speaking of being a slave to Israel's interests, the United States government has now said they will veto any United Nations resolution condemning Israelis' illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. There is no question that Israel is committing a crime there. There is no question that the United Nations, as the governing international body, should be able to enforce international law. And there is no doubt that the U.S. government, in vetoing the United Nations yet again, is an accessory to Israel's criminal actions. And it just advertises to the world one more time that Israel has subverted the entire United States government to serve Israel's ends. That's why our roads are falling apart while your taxes go to build brand new paved Jews-only roads in the illegally occupied West Bank. How much worse does it have to get before you admit to yourself what is going on in this country? All right, well, we're pretty much at the end of the show here. We're going to be following events in Egypt. I think the Egyptian people are furious. I think it's going to take a little while for the shock to wear off. We'll see what's going to happen through the weekend. The big question, whose side is the military going to come down on? And if the military side with the people, Mubarak is going to wind up like Ceausescu, and I look forward to seeing that on television. That's it for our show. Have a good evening. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Republic Broadcasting. Aloha, America.